RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next great camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Outdoorsy, the largest and most trusted rental marketplace, Outdoorsy is making it safe and easy to make money renting your RV with full insurance, roadside assistance, secure payments, and real people ratings and reviews. Visit Outdoorsy.com to find a cool RV to rent or see how much money you can make renting your own RV.
And by GoPower. For 22 years, GoPower has been a trusted leader in the mobile solar and power inverter market. Their solar and inverter systems and kits offer full-time or secondary power sources wherever grid power is inaccessible, unavailable, or unsustainable. To size a power system for yourself, visit gpelectric.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at rvfta.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are taking you to the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida.
We rented a Class C motorhome from Lazy Days in Tampa and hightailed it up to Fort Wilderness for 5 days of visiting with Mickey and his closest friends. How did we plan this rental RV vacation? What parks did we visit? And what yummy food did we eat? Stay tuned for all the details.
You might think Disney vacations inevitably include a hotel and a healthy dose of exhaustion, but we know how to have a ton of magical fun without the stress. You are listening to episode number 176, Greetings from Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida, 2018.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, greetings from Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida, 2018. And we're just going to start putting the year in at the end of our Disney World episode so that we can keep going.
You hope.
I do hope. We are going to induct a new piece of gear into the RVFTA Gear Hall of Fame. Stephanie, can you tell everybody about this series that we're doing for our spring season?
Yeah, for the 2018 spring season of podcasts. Every single episode, we are inducting one piece of gear that we have used extensively and got a whole ton of value out of over the course of our 8 years of RVing. So we've reviewed tons of stuff on our gear guides over the past years, but there are certain items that we realize we have actually used on almost every single RV trip and that seriously just are worth their weight in gold. And these items we're going to focus on this season.
And one rule was that they have to be something we've used for 2 years of consistent use and they still have to work like they're brand new. So are you ready for this week's piece of gear that we're inducting?
It's your turn. What do you got?
It is my turn. And I do want to say to everybody, these are not advertisements. These are not sponsored messages. This is gear that we use. I think I actually emailed Anderson once and they didn't even email me back, but I still love them. Still love their camper levelers. So the Anderson Camper Leveler, if you go back into RVFTA history, I believe it was first recommended by our Utah correspondent, Brett Nielsen, on a very early gear guide about 3 years ago at this point. We bought them soon after when we had the White Hawk, and I love the Anderson Camper Levelers. Okay, it's the simplest leveling system, and it's affordable. It's nothing automatic. It's nothing automated. It's nothing electronic. It is a $40 set if you have a single axle, or if you have a double axle, you'll need to get two and pay $80. And it comes with a chock, and it comes with the leveler. So it's a pretty standard-looking chock, just like you'd buy at a big box store, like those yellow ones that you see everywhere. But then the leveler is the interesting part. It looks kind of like a long, extended chock on steroids that
curves. I think
curves.
It looks like a comma, right? It's shaped like a comma.
Not a Not a shabby way to put it.
And then when you put it together with the chalk, it kind of looks like a half moon, right?
Yeah.
Like a crescent moon.
It truly helps you to get leveled so quickly and easily. So you put that large comma chalk in front of the tire and you pull onto it. And as you pull forward, you move up. So you're only using it on one side
of your camper, right? So if you're on level side to side, one side of your camper will adjust as you move back over that comma-shaped leveler until you hit...
until you're level.
Even,
and
yeah.
Anderson says it'll lift you about 4 inches off the ground maximum. And that's going to get you level on just about any site, unless you're in some crazy crooked site. Now, Anderson says you can level your trailer on the first try. And not
we did all
we
the
did.
Time. I mean, a couple of times you'd be like, that's
all right,
not
back
level.
Up or pull it up. But I have to say, they're actually fun to use. Like, I enjoyed taking out my Anderson camper levelers and knowing I was going to nail it and get the RV level. Now, there are a lot of fancy, expensive, automatic levelers out there.
We have one on the toy hauler.
And I miss my Anderson camper levelers. They worked quickly. They worked easily. They were intuitive and simple product. And $40 is a bargain. $80 if you have double axle. Still a bargain.
We paid for the optional auto leveler on our Octane toy hauler. We talked about that on Say Hello to our new toy hauler episode from last year.
Say Hello to our Jayco Octane.
Yeah. And then so we did pay for that extra add-on. And honestly, a year later, I would have rather have saved the money and kept using the Anderson levelers.
I think that's fair.
And now they're with Penny.
Yeah, well, yes, we still are using them, actually. Totally using them on Penny. Somebody commented on that on a social media post recently, like, oh, what are those levelers? Anderson says they work great on trailers up to 30,000 pounds, so that's covering most of us, okay? I have heard anecdotally, not from anybody I know, but if you do use them on a gigantic fifth wheel, occasionally they snap. Now, I swear I've only just read this online. I've never known anybody that this has happened to. But if you have a trailer that's like, you know, 20,000 pounds or less, you should be good to go with Anderson camper levelers. And everyone that gets them loves them. It's just one of those products everybody raves
about.
But
I want to point out, because we talked about how one of the qualifications for the RVFTA Gear Hall of Fame was that it had to bring really good value. And that doesn't mean that they're inexpensive necessarily, because Brett reviewed these very early on. And it was actually a while before we bought them. And the simple reason is that it felt a little pricey because we had to get two sets. We had a double axle and we had to get two. And for some reason, just spending $80, I don't know, it like pushed it over into a category where we were like hesitant.
It's cheaper than getting boards, right? Yeah. I mean, a lot of people just level their camper
we
using
had
boards.
That's what we always use.
Yeah. And I still to this day travel with a couple boards, like just in case. But I have to say, in retrospect, all the use and all the years of having the Anderson camper levelers, they're cheap.
Right.
I mean, they're really well made. They're solid. They're simple. They're straightforward. They are a classic piece of RV equipment.
All right. So we've got two things now in the RVFTA Gear Guide Hall of Fame. We've got the Packing Cubes from last week that I inducted, and we have the Anderson levelers. I already know what's getting inducted next week. I'm excited about it. Something very unexpected.
She didn't even tell me yet.
Nope.
Can
like
you drop a hint?
Things. Nope. It's unexpected. That's all I say. And we're going way back on this.
Sounds like we're going back and forth, taking turns on inducting items.
Yes, that's what we're doing.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Even though I decided what you were going to induct this week. I knew what you wanted
you
to.
Knew,
you had told
you knew
me.
This was way at the top of my list. And plus, it's just applicable to almost everybody out there listening in podcast land. Like, pretty much all of you could probably use and enjoy and get a lot of mileage out of Anderson camper levelers.
All right. Now, before we go into our segment, our featured topic segment about Walt Disney World, we want to thank and welcome a brand new sponsor into the RVFTA podcast network. We want to say hey to GoPower. All right, it's a solar.
You go, GoPower.
Hey, GoPower. GoPower has been a trusted, recognized leader in the business of solar technology for over 20 years. Their high technology solar chargers, inverters, controllers, and power accessories that offer a durable, dependable, and cost-effective solution for mobile power needs where grid power is inaccessible, unavailable, or unsustainable. Now, this year, I want to say, We kind of are having a little bit of a theme going on that we're enjoying. We're kind of focusing on sort of exploring modifications that we know a lot of RV owners are interested in. And this is exciting for us. We've talked already about putting in the Acuva water filter that we're really excited about because filtered safe drinking water has been a concern for us over the years. And we also get so many questions about it from listeners. So we're like, that's a great mod to finally get around to doing.
Everyone's curious about solar right
Everybody.
Now. I mean, it seems like everyone wants just kind of more information. So basically, we're going to be your guinea pigs here.
Exactly.
We're going to walk you through the experience of using it and share the journey with GoPower.
Well, I want to say that RV travel, the reason why people love it, because it's about being more comfortable when you travel and also enjoying those campground accommodations. But we've been wanting to visit some more remote places and campgrounds, but without losing the comforts of our RV. And that's really where solar comes into play.
Yeah. And just to be able to do some more state parks that have no hookups and still have that solar power will be really nice.
Yeah. And I want to say one more thing about this. We are approaching it from the standpoint of it's okay to know nothing about solar energy, because I kind of feel like as a typical RVer who doesn't have any background in electricity or any of that stuff or power, I feel like when I go on the forums about solar or when I go into a Facebook group that I'm a member of about solar, people are literally talking a different language. Like I look at the words and they don't mean anything.
Yeah, you can get lost down a rabbit hole. So we are coming at this as beginners and we're going to talk about it as beginners. And we think that that will make it helpful to you.
Yeah. We want our solar content, which we're going to have. We're going to bring on somebody who's already done a lot of tutorials for me. We're going to bring them on and they're going to talk to you like you know nothing. And that's okay. You don't have to have a PhD in solar energy to do this.
Yeah,
all right? Let's do it.
Exactly. I'm really excited to add these and I really think we need to try to book Assateague Island for the fall.
All right. Let's go. Ready?
Let's do it. Okay, now what are our three segments going to be on Disney?
All right, so the first segment, we're going to talk about the planning and preparation. It's a big part of any trip to Disney. We try to keep it in perspective here, but we'll still talk about what to do in advance, what we did in advance for this trip. Then we're going to talk about the parks that we visited this time, very different than what we did last year. And then finally, we're going to wrap it all up by talking about our famous or infamous Lazy Days, Class C rental. Everybody wants to hear about it.
It really made the trip like extra fun for me to be driving a motorhome back and forth to Lazy Days. I'm really excited to talk about it. And I had more fun at Disney this year than I did last year. So we will be back in a second.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Stephanie, are you ready to talk about Disney World 2018?
Yes. It's a little exhausting, overwhelming, daunting.
I'm excited to talk about it again because all the memories come rushing back. And it was a magical trip, and we really hope we can share some good information. And I think a little bit like as an organizing theme for you and for me is that RVFTA likes to keep Disney somewhat simple and simpler than a lot of people. And partly because I think we just have more fun that way and there's less stress. And we do also want to relax at Disney.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's part of it. So I shared this qualification last year, and a year later with our second visit under our belts, it's even more true for me. So, you know, there's a lot of Disney resources out there. Okay, there's a bunch of them and you should use them, right? You should definitely be all over the internet. There's Facebook groups. It's all really helpful. But the bottom line is that because there are so many resources, people almost are convinced that planning a Disney trip is rocket science. And, you know, it can be if you want it to be. And it can be really, really complicated. And I think that some people actually enjoy that. It's part of like the pleasure of leading up to a Disney trip, you know, and if you like to get lost in that rabbit hole, be my guest. But I feel like I want to provide a different perspective because a lot of RVers are not really your typical Disney crowd. They're the kind of people that like to go places and they like to experience fun adventures and then also relax at the campground. It's almost like a
different type of
culture.
Traveler.
Yeah.
I mean, I posted something about how we like to relax at Fort Wilderness in the afternoon on social media and somebody said, not me. That's what the plane ride home is for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we fly into Disney and we are going nonstop. We are there when the parks open. We stay till the parks close and we sleep on the way home. And like you said, that's great. That could be fun, but it's not how I want to do it. It's not how you want to do it. And I think that
I don't think those people need me either. You know,
like they don't. Yeah, so they got their great. Game on.
I don't think we're really speaking to those people. I think we're speaking to another group of people. And this is these comments that I've seen in our Facebook group, right? So, you know, there's been a couple of posts and comments in our Facebook group that are kind of like from people saying, you know, I really want to do Disney. But to be quite frank, I'm kind of overwhelmed and scared. Like, I don't even want to step into that. And I felt that way. So I identify with that. And I want to speak to that.
Also, we have seen comments in our Facebook group from people who actually did Disney, did Fort Wilderness, did the RV trip, and regretted how they did it because they felt like they didn't build in time to relax and enjoy the campground. So for you, Stephanie, this starts with the planning and preparation for the trip. You do keep it pretty stripped down and simple. So can you share basically the basic steps you need to get a Disney vacation going at Fort Wilderness?
Yeah. If you want to have fun at Disney without a lot of stress and without the pressure of seeing everything and getting to everything, then I will tell you, you can do that. And I will tell you that I swear I spent no more than 4 hours. 4 hours total planning our trip to Disney.
And would you say the same was true a year ago, or that you got even faster and more efficient at it the second time
around? Oh, I was even lazier this year because I knew what we did that I wanted to swap out this year, and I'll talk about that.
I'll say it again. I had more fun this year.
Yeah. So, okay. So what did those 4 hours entail? First of all, you have to make your fort reservations. You have to do that first way ahead of time, 499 days in advance if you can. Go listen to our Fort Wilderness Campground of the Week episode paired up with this episode from this week to get all the deets on that.
Like, so if you want to go this summer and you're listening to this, good luck.
You might be able to try.
But you might not. But you need to book. I have booked twice, 2 years in a row. I've booked in a year in advance almost exactly.
All right. The second thing you need to do is to register for an online account on the Disney website. So you go in, you create an account. Then you link that account to your reservations at Fort Wilderness. You buy your theme park tickets. You link them to your reservations. All right. All of that should take you, I'll put that in the category of an hour, right?
Okay.
All together, all right? Then
you have 3 hours left.
Okay. Then because you're staying at a Disney resort, you get to book dining 180 days in advance. Now, I did that for the Hoop-Dee-Doo review because we know that that sells out. So I had the little like reminder. I think they send you an email actually if you have your account.
And we didn't even get the tier one seats.
Yeah, because you know what? I didn't book it 180 days. I was lazy and I probably waited a month or something.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I didn't do
that's
that.
That's a good lesson. We did get in, but we didn't get the tier one seats. We liked where we were sitting, but I think the first year we went, I liked the seats better.
Okay. Now, the next thing that you do is you book your fast passes and you get to book them 60 days in advance because you're staying at a resort property. Now, this is another thing that I was lazy about this year. And I did it like 30 days in
advance. The only consequence was that we didn't get on one ride.
Yeah.
Pandora, which we'll talk about later.
So that's the only thing that we didn't get that I wanted, but I still did that in advance, the fast passes. Then I recommend downloading the Disney app to your smartphone. And from there on out, you're perfectly fine and you're able to do everything that you want to do.
And you basically, while we're there, you're basically running the trip from the app.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All your reservations, your fast passes, everything's right there. Maps of the park, wait times for the rides,
and
everything.
It works remarkably well.
Yeah.
I mean, when I look back at my Disney trips when I was a kid, they seem so inefficient. They seem so confused. There was so much waiting around, you know, and now, it's like now you really can get a lot more in because of the technology.
Now, again, with the fast passes, a lot of people stress about that, right? Like you can only fast pass 3 rides and they're like, oh, what do I do? And they're, you know, look, it's not that difficult. A quick survey of some great online resources for Disney, like All Ears and everything, they're going to list basically the best rides at every park and for the different age groups and kind of give you a little a synopsis. There's so much out there. I usually post a quick Facebook question in my own personal Facebook group too, because of course I've got a bunch of friends that are Disney moms that will answer. I'll say, hey, who went recently? What'd you like? So
you could go to RVFTA, the group, and say, I have an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 12-year-old. What ride should I do? You'll get answers right within our Facebook group.
Yeah. And then I followed the same strategy we did last year where I didn't fast pass the first ride of the the morning because you don't have to. You just run right there. Then I fast passed 3 after that. Basically, that took us up to lunchtime or right after lunchtime. And then the rest of the day was free for anything else we wanted to do.
I don't want to blow past that tip. So we do not fast pass our first ride of the day. We run there. We get in the gates and we literally kind of speed walk to that ride.
Yeah.
And in every case except Pandora, we got right on the ride with no wait. And then you're seeing people get in the fast pass line and they don't need to have – they've wasted their fast pass. It's almost kind of like sad.
Because it's a 5-minute wait and you're you fast passed it instead of being able to 60 days in advance pass. It's almost like you're doing 4 fast passes when you do it that way. So it's really a better strategy. I never would have done that with Pandora. I literally could not get a fast pass for Pandora. I wouldn't have been like, let's run to Pandora. We were there 10 minutes before the park opened and the wait was already 3 hours. And believe me, we ran.
Cray.
It's totally
and we didn't wait.
Control.
We did not wait for it.
So, you know, the fast passing, if you want to make a good day out of the park, it really does make a difference. And you just have to do it. Don't piddle around with that. That's one thing that I would be a little, you know.
Absolutely. No, you should do it the first day you can do it. Now, Stephanie, we've decided not to do the dining plan for really maybe 2 different reasons. So what is the first reason?
All right, well, I questioned myself last year about not doing the dining plan.
A lot of people like it.
And I was like, and so I really started asking around and I started crunching the numbers and looking at pricing and blah, blah, blah. And what I realized the more actually Disney experts that I talked to was that the dining plan is not about a money-saving package, right? So a lot of times when you do all-inclusive packages, it's because you want to save some money. At Disney, you don't. It's really about making things convenient and easy and budget oriented. So people like to say, hey, I like to know that I paid for every single thing and I know what my Disney trip's costing. And then we just don't worry about money.
And there are psychological advantages to that because I'm sorry, the number of times you're at Disney
and you're making money decisions.
Well, but the number of times you overhear people talking about how much money they're spending. And like I was in the hot tub relaxing and a guy's complaining about the prices of everything. And I'm like, dude, okay, don't come. I mean, you made a decision and relax and enjoy yourself. It's the hot tub at Fort Wilderness.
Yeah. And so we did some character dining and everything last year because it was our first time that we were bringing our kids to Disney. But this year, actually, one of our takeaways was that we wanted to do less sit-down dining. And so not only was I happy not to do the dining plan, but we actually switched into more grocery-oriented meals. And it was transformational.
This was huge. So we stayed at Lazy Days for 4 days before we left for Disney. So, and we had a rental car during that 4 days. But even if you went out and went grocery shopping.
Yeah, I did.
Even if you didn't have the rental car, we would have gone to a grocery store in the Class C on the way to Disney.
Yeah, there's a Publix right outside of Fort Wilderness, like right before you get there. And it's so easy to get in and out of with the RV.
One of the reasons, I kid you not, that I had more fun this year was partly because we were able to eat dinner back at the campground and make some food out of the RV. We had pizza bites one night. We had bagels in the morning. We had cereal.
Throw me under the bus with the frozen food.
No, well, look, you're in a small RV kitchen.
It was great.
But I felt less full. I mean, look, I'm being serious. Like overeating at Disney is a thing. Like it's a problem. Like you can really overeat.
It's like cruise eating. Yeah,
it is. You can really overeat at Disney. And I didn't want to. So we ate out lunch most days at the parks. And then we had like
a breakfast,
a mild, mellow breakfast, bagels and food, something small for dinner. And honestly, it made my whole trip better.
I felt better.
I felt more energetic the whole time.
And then I packed some snacks for the day. Like we definitely are by lunch. We're not going to pack like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches while we're in the park. Like we're the type of people, we want to sit down and we want to have a good lunch. But this year we did found a couple of good casual dining options or some recommended dining options. And we actually had really good lunches this year, better than last year.
We had good lunches. And on average, I'd say we were spending $60, $65, $70 on lunch. Where we did have dinner one time, you know, dinner's going to cost you $150 for a family of 5 at least.
That'll be like
so
our kids, yeah.
Lunch, Stephanie, do you think it's fair to say that lunch is half the price of dinner at Disney? So we saved, we really saved hundreds of dollars by stocking the RV fridge and having food at the RV.
Yeah, so I was happy that we did that. That made a big difference. But also there's tons of people out there that love the dining plan. So I just wanted to provide some perspective on that. Now, another thing that I did this year that we didn't do last year was I purchased the photo pass.
How much?
So I'm really on the fence about whether that I should have done this or not, but I tortured myself about it. And we were like, okay, just buy it because it's like $160. But what happened was last year, I didn't buy it. And then we got like one or two pictures that we just randomly took, like at Chef Mickey with your mom. And the photo was so cute. And to download it, it's like $50 for one picture.
Oh, and some of the roller coaster photos are really memorable and funny, right?
That's the thing.
Don't get a lot of pictures of our whole family. So, you know, $160 is not cheap, but I think it was worth it. I'm glad we did it.
The boys had so much fun after the ride going and finding their picture and then putting their magic band, you know, up to the scanner because then it downloaded right to the app and then they could see it on the app. And we had hysterical roller coaster photos. So,
we had a hysterical photo of Wesley on the Twilight Zone ride freaking out, and both of us have our hands on his shoulders looking at him. I mean, you catch some photos that you are literally not allowed to take yourself. Yeah. You would never have that photo.
So I don't know. Like, on the one hand, I think, oh, that's so great. It was fun. I got a cute picture of them in front of the castle. And then on the other hand, I think $160 for like funny pictures, I don't know.
So look, if you're doing budget Disney and you're keeping expenses down, that's an easy thing to drop and not do. But if you're just like, okay, I'm spending thousands of dollars, what's another 160? Then go for it.
Yeah. So anyway, I splurged this year, but I'm not sure about whether it was worth it or not. So hindsight's 20/20.
All right. Your last tip for the planning has to do with once we were in the parks, like how once we were at Fort Wilderness, how did we plan for the next day?
I'm just saying that I just spent that 4 hours ahead of time. Like, that was just like a month, 2 months, 6 months in advance, just quickly planning that stuff. Then I didn't think about it again. And then the night before, if we were going into Animal Kingdom, I took out the Animal Kingdom map. I looked at my app. I like refamiliarized myself with what I had fast passed and where it was. And I kind of said to you then the night before, I'd be like, okay, here's our game plan for tomorrow. And I'd like kind of draw you into the whole thing. So you were on the same page. So it was just, I just did that every night. I took probably 10 or 15 minutes to just sort of like think about what we were going to do the next
day. Look at the maps, get familiar with where the rides are. And it worked well for us. I really, really enjoyed that basic planning.
Yeah. I mean,
it was a very relaxing Disney trip. And that's what I want our podcast listeners to have too.
We did. We got there when the park opened. We ran in there. We had a plan. We followed the plan. We adjusted it when we had to, or when we saw something that we thought would be fun. And then at the end of the day, at 3:34, 4:30, the boys were ready to go back to the pool. Every day.
Every single day.
By four, they were like, okay. And they had so much fun the whole time we were there. But then they were like, let's go.
When we got to Hollywood Studios, about an hour into our day at Hollywood Studios, Wesley's like, Daddy, can we go back to the Fort Wilderness pool?
He just wanted to go.
And it wasn't like he was unhappy at Hollywood Studios, but just like the kids love that time at the campground. Yeah. So it was like
we just jammed a lot of fun in and then we left. It wasn't like dragging it out. And for us, that was great. People that are Disney freaks and want to stay there from opening till closing, you are awesome, and I'm so glad you're having fun doing that. But for the rest of you out there thinking, like, I don't think I can take that, you don't have to. You can have a great Disney vacation without going sunrise to sunset.
I think what you said earlier is so true. I really think that the RV people that do Disney do, generally speaking, have a different mentality because Fort Wilderness is so fun. There's so much to come back to. Where for me, I'm sorry, if you're staying at one of the resort hotels, I would want to be gone all day.
People who stay at those resorts love to go back in the afternoon and chill at the pool. You can't act like
they
the
have
pool,
pools at the resorts.
Yeah, you can't, like, you're getting snotty. You can't act like these resorts don't have nice relaxed spaces. They do. Don't be snotty.
I think that us RV people are getting the better end of the deal at Disney
World. Called being
at,
myopic.
At Fort
All right.
Wilderness.
Now listen, Cabela's has everything your family needs to get into the great outdoors and camp in comfort. And a lot of people asked about our Cabela's quick set screen shelter last year. Every time, huge clam shelter kind of thing. Every time it was up in pictures, people asked about it. But whenever you like had it on Facebook or on Instagram, unfortunately, it happened to be out of stock through the summer. So people would ask and they'd be like, sorry, you can't get it.
Back in stock. And we loved it. It was big enough that at a lot of campgrounds, we would pull the picnic table into it and then have it like an indoor dining area if the weather wasn't good.
Yeah, this is not a cheap item, but it's good sized and it's really good quality. We had it up for months last summer and it stayed popped open. It stayed staked into the ground, very sturdy. There's room, like Jeremy said, for the picnic table inside.
And for bikes, if you want to haul bikes in there
at night. Yeah, put bikes in there to store in the rain. The rain starts coming down. You could fit bikes in there. If you need a heavy-duty outdoor shelter, this is a great option. I'm going to link to the one that we have in the show notes over at rvfta.com, and you can also go over to cabelas.com to check out a complete line of their affordable outdoor gear. Cabela's, it's in your nature.
I love it. I can't wait to be back at the campground
using it. Just thinking about that shelter. I know. All right.
We're going to come back in a second, and we're going to dive into the parks. We're going to talk Magic Kingdom. We're going to talk Hollywood Studios, and we're going to talk Animal Kingdom. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment two of our 2018 Disney World episode, and it's time to talk about theme parks. So this year we did Magic Kingdom the first day, we did Hollywood Studios the second day, we did Disney Springs the third day, and then we did Animal Kingdom the fourth day, and we loved all of them. Last year we did Epcot and Universal, so if you want to hear about Epcot and you want to hear about Harry Potter World, there are RVFTA episodes on those things, and we can put them in the show notes of this episode for
you. We can, and I specifically want to recommend for anybody listening to this that didn't listen to last year's episodes, if you're a new listener, listen to our entire episode on Universal Studios, because I have so many people that tell me that our recommendations for Universal, which are not all pie in the sky recommendations, were extremely helpful. Or I've had other people say, we should have followed your recommendations. Everything you said was right and we didn't.
We've also had people say, thank you for that episode. It helped us decide not to go.
Yeah.
And that's not because we didn't have a great time. No. It's just because we talked honestly about how expensive it was and everything.
Well, yeah. And the trade-off, because our boys at the end of last year's trip said that Universal Studios was the best day of their trip. And yet at the same time, by this year, they didn't even care about not going.
I thought they were going to be all disappointed about not going. They could have cared less. I am
so
really
take a listen to that.
I'm grateful our boys go with the flow at Disney and they don't get ideas locked into their minds about where they need to go. What was the biggest surprise, though, in terms of how they reacted to mom and dad's decisions about theme parks?
So when we got there, they were like, we're going to Epcot, right? They wanted to go to the countries, and they were talking about the countries. And I said, no, we're not going to Epcot this year, guys. We're going to go to Animal Kingdom. We're going to go to Hollywood Studios. And they were so bummed.
That shocked me.
Shocked.
I thought they'd be bummed about Universal.
Yeah, I did too. And here's the thing is I loved Epcot. You were like, you know,
It's not that. It's that I really wanted to do Hollywood Studios and I really wanted to do Animal Kingdom and we had limited time. But when the boys said, oh my gosh, Dad, we really want to go back to the countries. Like, I don't remember them like going crazy for that last year, but it made an impression.
I wanted to mention this because we have experienced this with our boys again and again, and maybe we can offer some support to other parents. Our boys don't tend to really react to things in the moment. So sometimes when we're traveling with them, we're like, dudes, like, what's wrong with you? Like, you are seeing an amazing thing and you're not even acting like you care. And then a year later, or just sometimes weeks later or later that day, they'll just start talking about it and they'll start telling stories about it. And I have realized that our kids process information differently. They don't just like show their emotions on their face when they're experiencing something. And I need to let them just have the experience and process it in their own way.
I think that's a great tip for parents taking their kids to Disney. Don't expect them to be smiling ear to ear and ecstatic the entire trip. I mean, it's a lot to take in. Mm-hmm. And the memories are magical. They will have them forever. But don't have some crazy expectation for how happy they need to be at every moment.
No, because they, you know what? Sometimes it's so much that they're going to like take it in and they're going to filter it. And then they're going to like keep the things that really were so impressive to them. And Epcot was one of those things.
All right, so next year we'll go back to Epcot. All right, so what rides did we do at Magic Kingdom? We raced to Space Mountain.
Always.
That seems
don't,
to be our...
Yeah, we don't fast pass it. Race to Space Mountain. You'll get
got
through.
Right on.
Remember, for those of our listeners with a spread of kids, you can do ride swap if one of yours or more is too little to ride the ride. So we do that a lot. We fast pass it. Then the other parent, the boys go on with you first or me first, and then we swap and
they
the other parent
go again,
goes on.
Great.
They're very lucky that Wes is little right now because they get to ride every roller coaster twice.
We also, a new ride we did this year, Buzz's Lightyear Space Ranger
Spin.
Well,
Wes did that while the boys were on Space Mountain.
He did it twice. Once with you and once with me. That was fun. I liked it.
I think that every visit to the Magic Kingdom, you have to do Small World, even if you hate it. And that was another thing that our boys were like, they were more engaged with the ride this time. They remembered it, and now they were trying to figure out all the countries. It was almost like having that prep first. Sometimes the second time is more fun for kids.
Also, it's a small world. It's been around forever, and yeah. It made me realize, like, God, that was a really progressive message at the time in terms of diversity and being a small world. It's a lovely message ride, as it were.
So we also redid Haunted Mansion, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, Pirates of the Caribbean, but we did more shows this time with the kids.
I highly recommend doing shows to take little breaks. You get to sit down, you get to relax a little, you breathe, you get your energy back. Stephanie, I loved the shows. I mean, I like really loved the Country Bear Jamboree.
So weird. The Country Bear Jamboree.
But the boys,
so
it is, but the boys loved it.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll remember it like for years because it's just so bizarre.
They were totally into the Hall of Presidents.
Yeah, and that was closed last year, so we couldn't bring them to that. And so they really enjoyed that. We saw the live show at the castle, which Wes was like, I mean, to see all the characters up there singing and dancing. You know, his older brothers are a little too cool for school at this point with that, but Wes was just
they stopped and watched though. Now, Stephanie's right. Take in the live entertainment at Disney. And that's one reason, like, I don't worry about getting on the 8 rides because I know if I do 4 or 5 rides, there's going to be all of these other options in between the fast passes where you can kind of chill out a little bit.
And then the Jack Sparrow show was another
example. It was hilarious.
That was hysterical. And Wes ended up like up on the
stage. He earned his honorary pirate certificate.
Yeah, an adorable picture with him and Jack Sparrow.
I never knew you got a certificate when you became a pirate. Yeah, well, apparently you do.
And Wes has it. Now, this is what I learned when we, on our first day and our second trip to Disney, there is a huge diversity in quality of the casual dining options at Disney. And last year in the Magic Kingdom, we ate at a casual dining place up by the carousel that was like so mediocre. And honestly, it was actually a lot pricier than we paid this time. This year, you know, I looked for more recommendations for the casual dining, but this year we ended up back at the Pecos Bill Tall-Tale Inn and Cafe, back by the pirate area where the Pirates of the Caribbean is and everything, by the Country Bear Jamboree. It was right next door to that. And it was so much better. And it was so $50-something dollars for all of us.
We couldn't finish our food.
The boys got 3 tacos.
Three.
And then they had the whole bar where they could put all their fixings on it. And for our boys who eat a lot, they don't eat kids' meals anymore. So that was really a good meal and they loved it.
It's shaded inside. So if you are there in the heat of the summer, it's a nice place to eat in the summer. There was tons of seating. It was quick. It was fast. It was perfect for what we were trying to do at Disney. My big takeaway after 2 years going to the Magic Kingdom, and I really want all of our podcast listeners to hear me on this, the old rides hold up. Okay, so if you're going back to the Magic Kingdom for the first time in 20 years, don't skip Pirates of the Caribbean. Don't skip It's a Small World. Those rides are still magical to me. Still love all of them. And Stephanie, thank you so much for making sure that Wesley got on a lot of like Wesley appropriate rides. You always make sure that Wesley gets his rides too.
Because
he doesn't really ask for them.
Well, because he just goes right with the flow with older brothers and younger kids. You know, when our boys were 4 years old, they were not doing the things that Wesley has to do. You know, everything was catered to 4 year olds when our boys were 4 because that's all we had. Well, you know what? He does a lot of things that are not age appropriate.
And he was tall enough for Big Thunder Mountain, which is awesome.
He was tall enough for so many more rides this year. Some of that worked out really well because he loves roller coasters. And then other times it didn't work out really well, like at the Tower of Terror.
So freaked him out at Hollywood. I don't know why he wasn't tall enough for Space Mountain, but he was for Big Thunder Mountain. I mean,
yeah.
There's probably a reason. Okay, Hollywood Studios. I liked Hollywood Studios, I think. We all loved Hollywood Studios, but I liked it more than the rest of you.
Mm-hmm.
I teach a film class. I'm just into that kind of old movie kind of feel that they have going on there. What were some of our favorite things that we did at Hollywood Studios?
All right, well, so the Tower of Terror was ridiculously fun, but it was terrifying. So it's for the kids.
For the kids.
Yeah, it really was terrifying. So just be aware of that. Then the Star Tours, I thought was a fantastic ride. And you don't see a lot of people out there saying, oh, Star Tours is a fantastic... I thought that was so much fun. It's like you're in a Star Wars fighter jet.
I was sitting next to a serious Star Wars nerd. Now, you know what I mean. We all know what serious Star Wars are. He was interacting and talking with the characters in the ride and commenting on them and analyzing the ride.
Oh, my gosh.
And, but he was thrilled with the ride. He got off and he was like, that was an awesome ride.
It was
ride.
Totally cool. I was like, wow, I was really impressed by that. Now, we also returned, because me and you had both seen this before in our lives, the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular.
It was epic. It actually was an epic show.
And that's one of those things that the boys are still talking about weeks later. Like, which,
they're doing more than talking about it.
Yeah,
they're doing, acting out the stunts.
Yeah,
and what's frightening,
the fake punches.
They're doing the fake punches.
They were
and Stephanie,
that.
They're really good at it.
The problem is they're good at it until somebody doesn't, you know.
But
whatever.
They could be stuntmen. I swear to God, they could be stuntmen.
Another thing that I had been to when I was younger, when I went, was the Muppet 3D Vision. Same show, same fun,
that was
with the
wacky.
Water. The boys loved
they
it.
Did.
They loved it. It was like, and I remember as a kid, you're looking and it seems like the characters like talking right at you and you take off your glasses. You try to figure it out. It's just amazing to watch these special effects, you know, play out. It's fun.
Now, we did not do the Jedi training. We were not sure if Max and Thea would like it or if they'd be too cool for school on that one. Plus, it was like we couldn't sign up till it was like 3 hours later. So we were just like, all right, we're just not going to do it. And for me, I'm always willing to just not do things at Disney. I don't feel like I have to get everything in. And we were willing to let that one go without any stress. And the boys, I don't think, really cared too much.
Nope, because they didn't know anything about it. And even when they were watching it go on, because we were coming out of Star Tours, they weren't like, oh, what are those kids doing?
It just looks like one of the shows.
Yeah, they just like walked on by. So, but if that's important to you, then that's what you have to do when you walk into Hollywood Studios. You have to race right to the Indiana Jones Adventure Outpost right away and sign up for a show for your kid.
Yeah, you got to get to that one quickly. Now, was Toy Story Mania the shooting game?
Yeah, the arcade game.
That
was awesome.
Yeah, that was truly a fun for all ages, like just as much fun for Wesley as it was for me. I loved that ride.
Yeah,
and by the way, I won for the entire cart of people. Talking 40 people, I won.
Right.
I did.
I'm glad you know your score still for the
I didn't say that. I just said I know that I won.
All right. But the real star of the show for the whole day, everybody's favorite, except for Wesley,
because he didn't go on it.
The Rock and Roller Coaster.
The Rock and Roller Coaster was one of the best roller coasters I've ever been on. It was really fun. Some people report like their necks hurt when they're done.
From the table.
Well, one of our podcast listeners said it on RVFTA, the forum, and the guy next to me said when he was done that, I was like, oh, that was a little uncomfortable. Now, look, I don't mean to scare you away from it. I think that it's fine for probably 99% of people. Awesome roller coaster.
I came off that roller coaster with a huge smile on my face. There's one from Animal Kingdom that did the same thing. Let's move on.
And this one goes upside down. Like the Rock and Roller Coaster is a pretty radical roller coaster.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's Aerosmith
dark, and it's music playing. It's so much fun. I loved it.
We can't go to Animal Kingdom yet because at Hollywood Studios, we ate at the Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater restaurant. It was a more expensive lunch, but it was a real experience.
Yeah.
They're playing old sci-fi movies, and it feels like you're in an old drive-thru, and your table is like an old-fashioned car. Like, you're either inside it, or how would you describe those car
seating? Like, yeah, they have the cars, and so you can sit there, and they're playing all the old sci-fi movies up on the big screen, and it's, like, dark in there, and it's really cute.
And the burgers were very good.
I was really convinced that we were doing casual dining that day again, but then people in our Facebook group had recommended this
one. Lots of them.
And I want to offer another tip here. So here's the thing. When I looked online and I looked on the app, there was not a reservation available for the Sci-Fi Dine-In restaurant. Jeremy had been like, we'll see if we can eat there. And I'm like, no, there's nothing available until 2:30. We're not waiting until 2:30 to eat lunch. I walked right up to the desk, like we were walking by, and I just walked up and I said, you know, there's not a reservation available, but there's five of us. Can we sit? And they were like, you want to sit now? And I said, yeah. And they sat us
right
down.
We got right in.
Yeah. So, and somebody else told me, we actually met some podcast listeners at the four that were lovely. And they told us that they did the same thing with Mickey's Backyard Barbecue one time. They couldn't get a reservation. And she walked right up to the hostess stand and she was like,
last second.
Can you fit us in? And the hostess was like, yeah, I can fit you in. Yeah. So don't be scared to kind of like think, plan ahead, but also think outside the
particularly,
box.
Particularly, we're walking right by it anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Animal Kingdom was like a total new favorite. We all loved Animal Kingdom.
Guess what the kids brought up today?
Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom. That's what I'm talking about, the processing. It's so funny how it emerges later on. Like, I would not have said at the end, like at the end of the day at a theme park, I cannot tell whether my kids had an amazing day or not, usually.
You're right.
Used to get so much for them to take in. Then today, Theo was talking about going back to the Animal Kingdom and how amazing it was at the Animal Kingdom. Yeah.
It was. And the individual rides were all great, but just the act, like being in the park and being in the different, it's split up by like region or country.
Yeah. Africa.
Geographical region.
Right.
Continents.
So, it's just a different experience than the other parks in that even if you look at the map and the offerings, it's more food based, it's more shopping based because it does have that sort of cultural thing. But the rides that they do have are really good.
Well, really good, but it has that Epcot feel. And like instead of in the countries, you're in a continent, but you really feel like you're there. It's like movie set good.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, there's definitely more shopping and there's, you know, more about the food, but the rides were awesome. Right. Oh my God.
So Safari was fantastic.
Great way to start the day.
We kicked off the day with Safari. Then we went to the Festival of the Lion King, which was like a mini Broadway show.
Just walked
right into a mini Broadway show.
Except it was half an hour instead of 2 hours. Everything about the quality of it was as good as a Broadway show. Stephanie and I have been to Broadway shows. They are very expensive. Doing a show like this at Animal Kingdom makes you actually feel like your tickets are not expensive.
Yeah. And then there was Dinosaur and Expedition Everest as the two like roller coaster rides. Dinosaur, I was not a huge fan of. Like, it was kind of scary and it was jerky. Like, you were just getting jerked
around.
Yeah,
I wasn't that. I think the kids were wasn't a little scared. That memorable to me.
No.
The Expedition Everest roller coaster, we
was
all
awesome.
Said we liked better than Rock and Roller Coaster.
It was like, yeah, everybody was debating that the whole time, like, which was better.
It's an outdoor roller coaster, mm-hmm. which I like a little bit better. And the experience kind of walking in and getting to it.
Well,
is
there's things you don't want to give it away,
cool.
but there's things like that make it like you're
some
surprised. You don't know what's happening, and it's super duper fun.
Well, it starts and stops a little bit more than your traditional roller coaster, but that made it more fun.
Yeah.
But Everest and Rock and Roller Coaster totally blew me away, and they're better, more modern roller coasters than like Big Thunder Mountain or Space Mountain. I mean, they are. They're just better roller coasters.
Now, we also did the Navi River Journey and It's Tough to Be a Bug, which were both fun, but nothing.
Totally
like,
acceptable. I wouldn't be dying to go back to them. We had a really good casual lunch at Yak and mm-hmm. Yeti. They were a little bit busy and they had some trouble with the orders and they kept messing up everybody's orders, but they were polite and they made it right and they got us all our food.
Good. Like it was like
totally
teriyaki
good.
Beef, cheeseburgers for the boys. It was more like Asian
but
food,
we,
like stir fry.
We got some cultural food instead of just burgers and fries.
And I mean, it was tasty.
Disney?
And then we had the Dole Whips. Right.
I'm so glad you brought those up.
The Dole Whips at Tamu Tamu refreshments. Right. This is one of the few places in the park that you can get them. And we
what is a Dole
had them. It's pineapple juice and ice. And
they're really good, though.
It's good.
Now, on
it's
our...
a pineapple. It's a icy pineapple treat. There you go.
Now, on our dedicated Fort Wilderness campground day, you went and got a facial as a birthday mm-hmm. present. And for yourself. And we just decided to go along with you. Like, we had spent the morning at the court.
Of course you did. Because
why would we?
Why would mom ever go somewhere by herself?
Well, look, I looked up Disney Springs. I did a little digging around about what stores were there. And I saw that there's a Pele soccer store. And my sons are all soccer fanatics right now. And I thought, oh my God, they are going to love, love, love going to the store. And they really, really did. It was really cool. It was fun. So Disney Springs is just all about the shopping. Like, the one tip I might give you is if you're going to go to Disney Springs with kids, like, don't let anybody get their souvenir until you go there. Because at Disney Springs, they have the single largest Disney themed merchandise store. And it has everything. Like, anything that's out and that they're selling is all in that one store.
Now, I really wanted to experience what some of these more adult experiences are at Disney, because we do have a lot of friends that do adult Disney trips and everything, and we've never done anything like that there. So I did get my facial. I had $200 of birthday money, and I decided to spend it on that kind of experience, and I'm really happy.
And by the way, I didn't give her the $200
birthday
money.
No, your mother did.
Mother
right before I left. So I said, instead of just putting this in my pocket, I'm actually going to do something with the $200, and I got a facial. But I discovered that, oh my gosh, I could have gotten so much more out of this spa visit, because it was really nice. I went to Senses at the Saratoga Springs Resort. I just took the bus right there. And the thing is that my appointment was like at 11, say, and they say, oh, come 15 minutes early. If you want, you can come earlier to relax and blah, 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 blah. Well, it turns out you can go, you know, as early as you want. You could relax in the spa, in the sauna. You know, they have this relaxed room with these like zero gravity chairs that you can sit in. And then after your facial, they bring you back to like the quiet room. They give you a complimentary drink menu. Like, you can get a glass of wine, like for free, and they'll bring it to you. You could stay there as long as you want. So I didn't kind of schedule my date that way. I only got there 15 minutes before. And then we had a reservation at the Rainforest Cafe at like after my facial. So I just left. But the thing is, if I had done it right, for that $200 facial, I could have spent 6 hours at that spa.
Well, another thing too, for like, you know, maybe the dads out there listening, like take the kids to Disney Springs, let them get their, you know, get lunch with them, let them pick up their souvenir, maybe like let mom go and treat herself at the spa. I mean, it was well-deserved. We're constantly in your face. You definitely had earned some alone time at Disney. All right, so that is our summary of our time spent at Disney World this year. I mean, I'm really hoping to go back next year and mix it up again and do some different things and return to Epcot. If you want to learn about Epcot, go back to those older podcasts. We'll link to them in the show notes. Now, Stephanie, one thing I love about Fort Wilderness and the Trading Post is that they sell Thetford products.
Do they really?
They really do.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. Now, we want to give a shout out to Paula, the mad scientist, who we were lucky enough to meet at the Super Show in Tampa a couple weeks ago. Now, she is the smart one behind the scenes who's developing all this great cleaning and maintenance products that Thetford makes for RV owners. And we're really tapping into her as a resource this year and learning more about how Thetford's premium RV products can help us keep the toy hauler and Penny the Pop-Up in tip-top shape. So you can visit Thetford.com to see a complete line of awning cleaners, black streak and bug removers, wash and wax options, slide-out rubber seal conditioner. They have everything.
Some exciting new products coming. And listen, when I say we're tapping into Paula, which she's like one of the head chemists at Thetford, we're going to get some great tips for you, our audience, about how to best use Thetford's products to keep your RVs really sharp and clean and nice.
All right, so stay tuned. We'll be right back to talk about our Class C rental from Lazy Days in Tampa.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment three of our big Disney World 2018 episode. And here we are going to talk about our experience renting a Class C motorhome from Lazy Days and driving it from Tampa to Fort Wilderness and driving it from Fort Wilderness back to Tampa. And I had so much fun renting and driving a Class C. It was so much easier than I thought, and I want one. I'm sorry.
That's all, folks. The end of the episode now.
I really do. Okay. I don't know when I'll get one, but
that's
I
all
want
Jeremy
one.
Has to say about the topic. I'll give you the actual details. Okay, so we rented a Class C motorhome. It was a Thor Freedom Elite bunkhouse from Lazy Days in Tampa. I'm sure all of you saw like lots of the stuff that we put
and
up on social media.
And it's a classic bunkhouse floor plan with the bunks on the door side and then a slide out on the other side for like the sofa in the kitchen. It's everybody's got this floor plan.
I have a Facebook live walkthrough that I did that I'll embed into the show notes if you want to see it. Now, we were flying into Tampa for the Super Show, and then we drove the hour to Orlando to Disney World, and then we drove the hour back and we flew out of Tampa. Now, we did that because of the Super Show, but you could do that perfectly easy if you're going to Florida. Flying into Tampa is a lovely airport to fly into, and I would really recommend actually pairing it with some of the Tampa area, like the campgrounds either at Lazy Days. We talked about Fort DeSoto. I mean, you could really pair Disney with a nice trip in the St. Petersburg area.
I might
area.
Also just consider flying into Tampa, renting a motorhome from Lazy Days, staying at Lazy Days for one or two nights. It's a gorgeous resort. Yeah. You can go back and hear our review, and then coming back to Lazy Days, and you can do some RV shopping while you're there. There's like this incredible parts store while you're there. You can make it really part of your family vacation. I mean, Lazy Days
and
is an iconic RV destination for all you RV crazies out there.
Now, you can just rent the RV, okay? Just the RV with nothing else in it. But you can also get additional packages. So since we were flying in, we got the kitchen package and we got the linens package. The kitchen package is complete with everything that you're going to need to get a basic meal on the table. However, do not forget when you stock up at the grocery store, coffee filters,
coffee filters,
paper towels, And garbage bags, right? Because those are three things that I think we all normally stock in RVs, but that all of a sudden you realize, like, we did grocery shopping, we had the kitchen kit, and then we were like, oh, garbage bags.
And honestly and truly, if you had those three things, then you're good to go
I think so. Now, the linens package, to be completely honest, the weather was cool while we were in Florida.
It was 29 degrees the first morning we woke up.
And so the blankets were not, like, heavy blankets. They're, like, light Florida blankets. So we had to keep the heat higher in the RV than we normally would because we had light blankets.
Yeah. So if you need to ask how to turn the propane on in the motorhome, I'm a seasoned RVer. We figured out how to turn the propane on right quick, but it is a little bit different than a travel trailer.
Yeah. So that's the skinny on the actual rental. Now on the driving experience, if you've never driven a Class C, you're thinking both it would be fun to rent and it would be fun to drive a Class C. This was a really great experience for both of us.
How about if you're not sure if you want to buy a Class C or not? I mean, like, I really had no idea if I would enjoy driving it. Now, I drove it to Disney and Stephanie drove it back to Lazy Days. So we both got a really solid driving experience.
My day was windier.
You did have a windy day.
I was like, look at the trees. They're blowing.
I mean, we were totally fine, but the RV was, you know, kind of blowing around a little bit more. I was surprised. And look, we were not towing a car. There was no dinghy here. I was surprised at how maneuverable and easy to drive this 33-foot Class C was. At one point, we had to drive the Class C over to Lazy Days headquarters because we were dropping off the rental car, I think. And you hopped out to take care of something.
I dropped off the rental car, yeah, right there. And you pulled a little U.
You went inside. I pulled a complete U-turn, like, right in the Lazy Days parking lot.
My jaw dropped.
Stephanie came back out. She's like, you turned that around right here?
You are so cautious. You're so overly cautious, which is
when I'm doing something new, yes.
But, like, I was shocked that you did that. I was like, you just did that.
I'll tell you.
Normally, you would want, like, 10 spotters.
Well, it's also somebody else's. I don't own it. I've been driving an F-250 for a year, and it just didn't feel radically different.
The sight lines
were really good. I felt like I could see really well along the sides.
I wonder if pulling out, like, just knowing what it feels like to make wide turns in the 250, knowing what that feels like to know where your hip is, right? Like, I feel like with the 250 and with pulling the pop-up and with pop-ups in the past, I'm very comfortable with the idea of marking in my rear view, like, where I have to pull out to before I start to turn. So I'm wondering
swing
if just
wide,
that basic,
sweet chariot. Like, I mean, with the toy hauler and the F-250, you have to swing wide.
I was scared of the tail swing. Like, everybody talks about that, and I was really uncomfortable because we haven't had a motorhome before. So that was something that I was really nervous about. But I felt like when I was just driving, like I would drive the F-250, I didn't experience that being like, it was just you're going slow and steady
for
in your
me,
turn.
You can see the rear corners of the RV. So I was not worried about the tail swing because I could see it.
It was more of a mental thing for me.
And then I was driving to Fort Wilderness. There are tight spots at Fort Wilderness. I mean, people occasionally have issues getting into their sites. The campground was designed a long time ago and there weren't so many gigantic honking motorhomes and everything. So I was a little bit worried we would get a tight spot. I was so thankful we got like the easiest spot to pull into.
It
was almost like they knew
how funny it was.
I mean, it was totally angled and it was nice and big and wide. So I backed up the RV and parked it so quickly, so stress-free.
So easy.
And then it is a pretty awesome to hop out of a motorhome and not be unhitching.
All right. Now, I want to stop you here.
Okay. Stop me there.
We are going to hash out the actual Class C issues on our pros and cons of a Class C episode this season. You can't go down this road.
You're right. And I'm so excited to do the pros and cons of a Class C because I feel like we've spent time in a Class C. Yeah. We've both driven a Class C and last year we stayed in one, but we didn't drive it. This year we stayed in one and we actually got to drive it both ways. So I feel like we can really give you a really nice informed episode on the pros and cons of a Class C.
Final point. Can you be at a Disney without a car? Yes, yes, and yes. You don't need a car
at
Disney.
I recommend it.
We had a car last year. We didn't touch it or turn it on the entire time.
We wasted money.
And this year we had no car. It didn't matter.
I think it also helps you escape a little.
Yeah, it wasn't even an issue. Disney is a great place to go without a car. We could not recommend this experience more highly. Like, go, you know, doing the whole Lazy Days thing now, it really has truly been a pleasure and just such a fun thing for us to do.
Look, some of you don't want to tow your trailers down to Disney in the winter. If you're from Canada or you're from New England and the roads are bad and the roads are icy and you're worried about snow and the whole thing becomes a stress fest and you just say, well, I'm not going to go to Disney over my winter break. Flying in is cheaper than you think, and renting an RV, while not cheaper than you think, is right in line with the cost of a hotel room.
Oh, wait,
and you get to stay at the campground.
Hey, for all of you people listening that don't own RVs, because we know we have a lot of you out there, because people are always sending us notes about how they bought their first RV after months and months of listening to RVFTA. This is such a good way to dip your toe in the water. Disney in an RV at Fort Wilderness, and you're going to be like, I'm going to be an RVer for the rest of my life.
I have to say, it was really hard coming home and going back to work. It was just such a magical
trip.
Now,
listen, we're going to thank our sponsor, Jayco, and I wanted to talk about the Octanes because I feel bad because we were just raving about our Class C experience. So I want to talk about our camper that we love that wasn't down in Florida. So
I miss our toy haulers so much right
the
now.
The Octane SLX and Octane toy haulers never cease to amaze. They're built for cargo, equipped for recharging, and designed with a style all its own. It has all the bases covered so you can cover more ground. Covered by Jayco's 2-year limited warranty, the Octane and Octane SLX give you freedom to explore and take your toys along for the ride. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
All right, we will be back in a second to wrap up the show. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is time for the RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Outdoorsy, talking about RV rentals.
Exactly. We've been talking a lot about RV rentals, and Outdoorsy is the largest and most trusted RV rental marketplace, and they make it easy to either experience an RV vacation or to rent out your own. Now, you can rent out through Outdoorsy in both the United States and Canada, but I wanted to talk for a second on this episode about the whole idea of renting out your RV, right? Because if you ever see it out there online, you get two types of responses. There's some RVers that are like, what? I would never do that. My RV's my baby. Like, nobody's going to touch it. And like, hey, that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, some people bought that RV so that nobody else can be in it.
Right. Nobody's touching it, right? But then there's other folks that are like a little bit intrigued by this because there's a really good economic argument for RV rental.
Lots of people make enough money to pay for their RV payment.
Exactly. So think about this. You're one of those people out there, you want an RV, you do RV maybe, you love camping, but you just cannot use your rig enough to justify the expense.
Because you're like at work.
Right. You're working, or maybe you're in a different kind of life experience for 1 year. Maybe you have somebody that you're caretaking for that year. There's a lot of different life experiences.
Well, your job or your business might keep you very busy all spring or all fall or whatever. Maybe there's just a season where you can't camp a lot.
So if your RV is more like a vehicle for enjoying life and a hobby, and it's not your baby, right? Like, it's just something you use to have fun. Renting Outdoorsy could completely transform the economics of RVing for you. I think there's a really strong argument for that. We're going to test it out ourselves this year.
We're listing Penny. Got to take the photos. Got to get her shiny and clean.
Visit outdoorsy.com/list/your/RV for more info today.
How much money do you think we can get per night for Penny? We're not going to say it here, but eventually we'll release all the details.
We'll say.
Because we're debating how much to charge to rent her.
Okay.
RVFTA News Roundup. Make sure you head over to Campground of the Week because we did a complete review of Fort Wilderness over on that matching podcast that goes along perfectly with this one.
All of the show notes are at rvfta.com. All of the resources for Fort Wilderness and for Walt Disney World that we have mentioned in these two episodes are all over at rvfta.com.
There are many, many great reasons to head over to our newly designed, awesome, beautiful website, rechristened RVFTA.com. One of those great reasons is that Stephanie has a really cool blog post up about her complicated relationship with towing that got a lot of great feedback within our group, and I think it really hit a chord with people.
And I wrote it after a couple of social media comments of when I was driving the Class C. So this experience of driving the rental specifically led me to write this post and got me thinking about it. So you can read about that.
Another great reason to head over to the newly redesigned and rechristened RVFTA.com is that you can leave your own user-generated campground review. Stephanie, how do you do it?
All right, just go to Campground Reviews tab. You sign in, you register, and then you can leave a campground review. You can upload your pictures at the campground, tell people why you want to share this great place that you love to camp at.
And there's already many reviews up, and we're going to make this a really vibrant place to go for awesome campground recommendations from the RVFTA community. Now listen, you need to join RVFTA, the group on Facebook, just because everyone's so friendly. Now, if you don't like friendly people that are really helpful, you might not want to join the group because everybody's friendly and helpful.
It's not for you then. But what might be for you is leaving us a very kind and nice iTunes review if you listen to this show and you enjoy it. We do read every single one, and they really make us smile and they make us feel happy about what we do. Unfortunately, there's no little like signs or there's no replies that we can't thank you for it on iTunes, but know that we thank you with our hearts.
We do. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to Campground of the Week. And we really, truly do hope that one day we see you all at the campground.
See you there.